Well, good evening. I heard a smattering of a few good evenings there. That's good. Well, it's good to see everybody. Most of you know I've been sick. I was sick for about 2 weeks, and I certainly appreciate your prayers, and I appreciate the warm welcome back from most people that I've gotten. And I really appreciate Northgate Chapel folks here. Felt like I was gone about two or three years, you know. But it's good to be back. Tonight, if you would, turn first of all to Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to read one verse, verse 12, tonight. You know, the Word of God, that book that we're holding, that you're holding in your laps right now, is the Word of God, sacred scriptures. You know, when we read and meditate and study the scriptures, the Word of God, it should have an effect on us as believers, as Christians. The power of the Word of God should affect us somehow, some way. And tonight I would like to look at Hebrews 4:12. Take this verse and break it down and look at it and analyze it and make some applications to our own lives. And then, after we're through with that, we'll go to the Old Testament for an Old Testament illustration of the effects of the Word of God on the hearts of God's people, in this case, the children of Israel. We'll take a look at that a little bit later, in a few minutes. But first of all, let's read, we'll read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's quite a verse right there. It's a lot of things, a lot of spiritual truth in it. First of all, the writer to the Hebrews uses that phrase, the Word of God is quick and powerful. Now, when we talk about the word quick, we're not talking about it's fast or it's speedy or anything like that. The word quick is an old English word. It means living. The Word of God is living and powerful. And it also says that the word powerful is interesting. The Greek word for powerful is where we get our English word for energy. So we could say that the Word of God has energizing power. And that's interesting because if the Word of God is a living word, if it has energizing power, then it should affect our hearts and our minds. And we're not talking here about physical energy, but spiritual energy. You know, the Bible, these sacred scriptures here, the Word of God, is not just a human book. These are the very words of God himself. This is God's communication to you and to me. When we read this book, we're not reading a newspaper. This is not reading a work by a human author. And some of the human books written by many authors, they're very brilliant, they're scholarly, they're deep many times, but they can't compare to the Word of God. The Word of God is living and it's powerful. The Word of God is energizing to us as believers. The writer also says that the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. Hebrews 6:17 uses that phrase. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God in Ephesians 6:17. It's interesting too that, you know, Roman soldiers used a short blade. It was a two-edged sword. It was called a machaira. And, it had a double blade. It was very light. And a well-trained Roman soldier could wield that sword with deadly accuracy. The blades were extremely sharp on that sword. The point of the sword was so sharp, it would penetrate armor. And we take that illustration of a sword being sharp and apply it to the Word of God. The Word of God has sharpness. It has penetrating power. When we read the Word of God, we're reading the words that God wants us to hear. He wants to communicate to us, and he will do that in a way that would be sharp or penetrating. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. That doesn't mean that, you know, you use your Bible and you'll cut yourself and you'll bleed. But the Word of God is sharp to the point where it can penetrate to the very heart, the human heart. As a matter of fact, that next phrase, piercing to the dividing asunder of souls and spirit and of the joints and marrow. The Word of God penetrates to the dividing line of the soul and spirit, even to the deepest part of our nature, the very depths of our soul. When we read the Scriptures, we study it, we meditate upon the Word, brothers and sisters of Christ, something should be going on in our heart. Something should be happening to us when we open this book and we read it and meditate it, study it, and think on it. The Word of God is so living, so energizing, so powerful, that it should be penetrating our very hearts. That God should be speaking to us through His Holy Word in a very real and powerful way. You know, we can take the works of human authors, and it may be a wonderful book, and we can read it and set it aside and forget about it for a while. But you know, when we take this book, the Word of the Living God, and take the words here and read them, study them, meditate upon them, ponder them, think about them, if we're doing that, something should be happening to our hearts and to our minds. Our attitudes, our hearts and our minds and our attitudes should be changing, because the Word of God will help us make those changes in our lives, you see. The Word of God is piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It's also a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I like the way the Amplified Bible renders this. It says, the Word of God exposes, sifts, analyzes, judges the very thoughts, intents, and motivations of the human heart. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Think of the power that's involved here. Now, the word motivation is an interesting word. It means why we do the things we do, or why we say the things we say. You know, human motivation, we can understand certain people and their motivation. Sometimes it's very clear and simple. Many times, though, motivations are very complex. They're not easily understood. We can't see the motivations of people. Sometimes we don't understand the motivations of our God. Of course, I don't think we're supposed to. But when we look at ourselves, or we look at the world, or the people on an individual basis, or in a group mass basis, we think, well, why did they do such a thing? What was he or she thinking when they said that? You know, that's what human motivation is. But the Word of God can expose these things. The Word of God, the Scriptures, expose the human motivations, the very thoughts and intents of our heart. When we're reading the Word of God, God penetrates to the very depth of our hearts and our feelings and our emotions and our intellect. The Word of God is supposed to be doing that in your heart, in my heart. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And again, we get back to the energizing power of the Scriptures, that the Word of God has power, it has energy. It's not just human thought, a collection of human thoughts. It's not just a collection of mankind's good feelings and that type of thing. The Word of God is God communicating to you and to me. There are certain things that He wants you and I to know. There are certain things that He wants you and I to obey in His Word. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. So we see that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. The Word of God. How precious it is. Well, let's turn to the Old Testament for an illustration of the effects of the Word of God. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Nehemiah, chapter 8. We'll read the first 12 verses. And bear with me while I pronounce these Hebrew names. There are a number in there. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Urijah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah on his right hand, and on his left hand, Pidiah, and Mishael, and Malchiah, and Hashum, and Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Benai and Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodijah, Messiah, Helita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And we'll stop right there. I tell you what, those Hebrew words are a mouthful. I had to go through each word about 10 times before I could understand how to pronounce it. But anyway, that's part of the preparation for a sermon. But here in Nehemiah chapter 8, we see that the children of Israel are gathered together in Jerusalem. The remnant has come back into the land. And I think there are between 40 and 50,000 Israelites gathered together here. And it says in verse 1 that the people gathered together, and Ezra the scribe brought the book of the law of Moses. Now, the book of the law of Moses, of course, is the Pentateuch. That's Genesis through Deuteronomy. And he was going to open the book of the law, the word of God, and read it to the people. And as Ezra read it, the people read the scriptures to the people. Scattered amongst the people were various men, and we read those names, various teachers and scribes and Levites, and they taught the people. When the word of God was read, they gave the interpretation and made application for the people as the scriptures were read to them. And they did this almost all day long. The people were gathered together. And I noticed about 4 or 5 effects of the word of God on the people as it was read publicly. Now, this is a public reading of the scriptures. Of course, when you and I read privately in our quiet time before the Lord or our prayer time, you know, God can certainly speak to us privately or publicly when the word of God is read. And in this particular case, one of the effects of the word of God is that the public reading of the scriptures should cause us to respect God's word. Notice verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. Well, why did the people stand up when the book of the law was opened? They were showing respect to God and his word. Now, I'm not advocating when the scriptures are read here at public at North State Chapel, we should stand up. I don't think we should necessarily have to do that. But there should be in our hearts a certain respect, a certain reverence for the reading of the scriptures. You know, on Sunday morning when Michael or Josiah or Jonathan open the scriptures up and read that particular portion, that chapter therein, you know, that should be a holy moment for us, brothers and sisters, right? Our eyes and our hearts should be open and attentive. We should ask the Spirit of God to open our eyes and our hearts to what He wants us to know when the public reading of scriptures goes on Sunday morning. I believe that. The children of Israel here showed respect to God and to His Word by standing up. And the people's hearts and their minds and their spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, they were open. They were receptive. They wanted to hear the Word of the living God. They wanted to hear the law of God read to them. They were hungry for the Word when it was read publicly. So the public reading of the Scriptures should cause us to respect God's Word. Another thing, one of the effects of the Word of God is reading the Word of God should cause us to worship God. It should cause us to worship God. Notice verse 6. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The people were literally on the ground, their faces on the ground, in a posture of worship to God. And again, I'm not saying that we should all get on the ground here in church on Sunday morning and worship the Lord. I'm not advocating that. But here the people were so sincere and so serious about wanting their hunger for the Word of God was so great that they were willing to worship God. Have you ever been in the Lord's Supper? I know I have a number of over the years, and I've read some scriptures, and a brother may get up and talk about the sacrifice of our Savior on the cross, and you know, my mind goes to, immediately goes to Isaiah 53, and I may open up that chapter and read some verses in that great chapter of our Savior, describing our Savior. And at that point in time, it would, as I read, it causes me to worship God, to worship the Lord. Because we don't have to do that at the Lord's Supper. We can do that at home. You know, in our time before the Lord. When you read the Word of God, and I was reading Psalm 84 this afternoon before I came to the meeting. And that's a beautiful, it was so beautiful, the Psalm. It caused me to worship God. My heart was so in tune with the Spirit of God. And, you know, when the children of Israel, when that book of the law was open, when the Word of God was beginning to be read to them, they wanted to worship God. They wanted to do that. And that's one of the effects of the Word of God upon our hearts and minds. Another effect of the scriptures, reading of the scriptures, of the Word of God, is reading the Holy Scriptures helps us in understanding God's Word. Look at verse 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Verse 12 says, and all the people went their way to eat, to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. You notice the effect that it has on the, you know, when the book of the law was opened, it was read by Ezra and the other scribes and Levites, the teachers there. It caused the people, the teachers helped the people understand the Word of God. And it caused them to understand what was being read to them. And you know, we have human teachers that teach us and help us to understand the Scriptures. But you know, brother, sister in Christ, there's no better teacher of the Word of God than the Holy Spirit of God. The Spirit of God can teach us as we read and study and meditate upon His Word. Have you ever read a verse or a passage in Scripture that kind of, it was in and out of your mind all day long? Have you ever done that before? Well, you know, while you're doing that, that's called meditating upon the Word of God. And, you know, sad to say, I just don't do that enough. I don't meditate during the day enough on the Scriptures or the Word of God. And I guess we're all probably guilty of that. But, you know, when we read the scriptures, we can understand it. I recall when I was a young Christian that when I first opened the Bible, I started reading. That was a lot of things in the scripture. I didn't understand it. I just didn't make any sense to me. But you see, the more I read it, the more I thought about it, the more I talked to other Christians about it, the more understanding I got. Jesus. And the Spirit of God was taking the Word of God, and He was instructing me and teaching me and helping me to understand His Word. He will do the same for you. There's no greater teacher than the Spirit of God. Another effect, and this, the fourth effect of the Word of God is studying the Word or reading the Word should convict us. It should convict us. Look at verse 9. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. And I was thinking about that phrase, the people were weeping when they heard. I suppose there were various emotions and thoughts that were going through their minds when they heard the book of the law. It could have been that was the first time in many, many years that any of the Israelites had heard the word of God read. It could have been that they had felt pangs of guilt because they haven't been obeying the word of God, the law of God, as a individually and as a nation. But whatever the case, the word of God has convicting power. The Spirit of God can take the word of God and it can He can convict us. When we read the scriptures, our hearts should be convicted, brothers and sisters. Because we're not reading a human book, we're reading a book that is quick and living and powerful and energizing. The word of God, the words of God who wants to communicate with us. When we read His word, our hearts and our minds should be convicted. And again, it's sad to say, and I use myself as an example, I'm just not convicted enough sometimes. Sometimes, have you ever read the scriptures and the Bible and, you know, you think, well, I've gone through the chapter and it's real nice and all that kind of, we close our Bibles and put it aside for a while and that's it. You don't even think about it anymore. How many times have I done that? How many times have you done that? But you know, when we open up these sacred writings, when we read the words on these pages, we're not reading human words. We're not reading human thoughts and concepts. We're reading the very Word of God. That's what it is. That's what we're reading. And we shouldn't close our Bible and just set it aside. But many times we do. But, you know, the Word of God, we read it, it should convict us. And it's interesting, you know, in preparation for a message, I always ask the Lord to, Lord, you know, give me your thoughts and your insights on a particular passage or verse and that type of thing. And sometimes I don't understand a particular verse or passage, and I ask, Lord, I don't understand this. Help me to understand it. And you know something? He always answers that prayer. He always does. But when we read the Word of God, it should have an effect on us. It should convict us. And finally, the last thing of the effects of the Word of God is reading the Word should stimulate us to obedience. Should stimulate us to obedience. And you know that's the most important thing, isn't it? Reading the Word of God is okay. Meditating on it is okay. It's a good thing. Studying it is okay. That's a great thing. But we must obey what we read. That's what God expects out of us. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Our proof of love for God is our obedience to Him. We obey what's in the sacred writings in the Word of God, in the Scriptures here. Let's look at, we're still in chapter 8. Let's look at verse 14. We didn't read verse 14. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. Look at verse 16. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the street of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And verse 18. Also day by day, from the first day until the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. Interesting here. The people read in the Word of God, in the Book of the Law, that on the seventh month they were supposed to observe the Feast of Tabernacles, as it's called. And you notice the Israelites, at this point in their history, they just didn't say, well, it says we're just supposed to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, I think I'll do that next year. I'll wait till next year. They didn't do that, did they? They obeyed the Word of God. They saw something in the Word that they were supposed to do, that God required them to do, required them to observe. One of the holy feasts, the Feast of the Tabernacle, and they got together and they observed the Feast of the Tabernacle. They built booths or tents and whatever was required in the Book of the Law, and they celebrated and observed the Feast of Tabernacles. They obeyed what they saw in the Word of God. You and I, as believers in this age, are no different. When we see something in the Word of God that we should be obeying, then we should do it. You know, that verse in Scripture, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for a number of things. For the things that we should do, for the things we shouldn't do, the things that should be done, the things that shouldn't be done. All these things are involved in obedience to God. When we obey the Word of God, that means we are obeying God Himself. When we see something in the Scriptures in our daily readings, or we meditate, or we study the Scriptures with commentaries, or however, whatever way you want to, method you want to choose, when we see something in there that we should be obeying, and we say, I'm not doing this in my life. God wants me to do this. Or He doesn't want me to do that. Then, brother, sister in Christ, we should obey that, what we read in Scripture. The children of Israel did that. They saw that they were supposed to observe the Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh month, and that's exactly what they did. So they obeyed the law of God. They obeyed the Word of God. Obedience is what God expects from you and me. You know, that's what He wants. When we read His Word, and the Lord Himself expects us to obey what we read. And, you know, there have been plenty of times in Scriptures I read something and, you know, the Lord speaks to me and wants me to do something. I thought, I don't want to do that. So I'll go to the next thing. and you know, that can happen. That can happen to all of us, you know, to any of us. But if we see something in the Scriptures that we should obey, then God expects you and I to do that. It's not a complex formula. Obedience is not something that we have to, a mathematical formula we have to write out on a board and try to figure out and ask a bunch of people and pray for about 4 or 5 days. When God says obey, we do it. That's what obedience is all about. And the children of Israel, one of the effects of the Word of God is that they obeyed the law of God. They obeyed. So the effects of the Word of God, that it should cause us to respect God's Word. It should cause us to worship our God. Reading the Scriptures helps in understanding God's Word. Studying the Word should convict us. And studying the Word should stimulate us to obedience. That's what the Lord wants from us. And that's all we have tonight, and I believe Gene has prayer.